Alright, so the lesson that I chose to teach was about patterns. Now, you may be thinking, Bridget, there is no specific kindergarten Common Core State Standards, like in math, about patterns. However, I want to assert that patterns are foundational to learning in all subject areas. Before we're able to use language to talk about our daily weather observations, or the similarities and differences in CVC words, or about skip counting, which are all things students are expected to do within the Common Core in NGSS, our students need to understand that there are natural as well as person-made things that repeat over and over and over again, and that those are called patterns. So, within my lesson, I had three learning objectives. First, students will be able to identify that a pattern is something that repeats over and over. Students will be able to predict what should come next in a pattern. And third, students will be able to create their own ABAB and ABBABB pattern. Intentionally created this lesson with the gradual release of responsibility in mind. So I think that using this framework speaks to my in-test standard number 2 that I chose, which is the teacher uses understanding of individual differences and diverse cultures and communities to ensure inclusive learning environments that enable each learner to meet high standards. I think that using the gradual release of responsibility specifically speaks to the way that I created different opportunities for students to demonstrate their learning in different ways by using different instructional formats. For example, first is I do. So I said, today we'll be talking about patterns. What I wish I did was use TPR, but I did write the word pattern on the whiteboard. I said, a pattern is something that repeats over and over and over and over and over again. And I intentionally said over and over many times to make myself laugh. And maybe see if they could figure out that I was saying something over and over and that was a pattern. I said, patterns are all around. There are many different kinds of patterns. Did you know that there are patterns all around us in nature? And then I read this book called Plant Patterns. Reading this book also speaks to meeting in task standard number 2 because I was able to draw on my learners' prior knowledge and experiences and allow them to demonstrate their own understandings. For example, there was a picture of a sunflower as a pattern. My students had recently used a real-life sunflower and tweezers in a sensory bin during playtime to pick out the seeds and make observations about sunflowers and plants. So I said, put your hand on your head if you know what this is. Do you think thumbs up or thumbs down? Can sunflowers have patterns? And students got really excited to put their thumb up. We talked about the seeds and the different shapes. I also made the connection to the picture in the plant patterns book of rows of corn. I said, put your finger on your cheek if you have seen something like this before driving around in La Conner. Since La Conner is a very rural place, I knew that a lot of my students' families may even work in on like a farm or in the fields. And so I thought this would be relevant to their experience. And then lastly, in the plant pattern book, there were rows of tulips. And La Conner is famous for its tulip festival. So again, I had students give me a physical response, whether or not they participated in going to the tulip festival. This all helped me engage students' interest and motivation in learning about patterns, as well as bringing more personal, cultural, and community assets to my lesson, And next time, if I were to do this lesson, I would want to give them homework to bring a pattern or take a picture from home to further bring multiple perspectives into my classroom. So next in my instruction was We Do. So my specific class really loves to participate, which is amazing, and they have a hard time when it is someone else's turn and not their turn. So I used popsicle sticks and I said, we will be using popsicle sticks today because I want you to know that every single person is going to get a turn to participate today. And when it's not your turn, you can wish someone well by putting your hand on your heart when it's their turn. So that is one way that I felt that I helped learners feel valued and helped them learn to value each other, which is also part of in task standard number 2. Another thing that I did in the We Do section of this lesson within the gradual release of responsibility is I used sentence frames. I said, as we put patterns on the board, I had each student come up one at a time to put a shape, and then eventually we named the shapes A, B, A, etc. When I called on a student to say what comes next, to answer that question, I also gave students the sentence frame, I agree or disagree with whoever because. I also introduced the ASL sign for same. Using sentence frames and introducing this sign shows that I incorporated tools of language development into my planning and instruction, including making content accessible for English language learners and supporting their development of English proficiency. I had really been struggling to comprehend how to have whole class discussions with kindergartners because my kids are very focused on what they want to say, and some of them are not yet developmentally ready to listen and respond to peers over a long period of time. So this was a really positive way to facilitate classroom collaboration through discussion and sense making. One student, when I asked what comes next, said C. So I had already thought of whether or not that would happen, and I had cut out a square because all my patterns were based on circles. I cut out a yellow square, which was totally different from the purple and red circles, and I said, oh, this is what C is. Do you still think that, do you still agree with your first idea that C would come after B? And they said, no, it's the purple circle. And then they thought for a second and they said A. And then I was able to keep continuing with the sentence frames of having them agree and disagree with whether or not it would be A or C, etc. I will say that I need more support with making appropriate and timely provisions because my third learning goal was that students would create pattern ABAB patterns and ABBABB patterns, and my kids got very wiggly and I didn't really have their attention when I tried to shift into ABB patterns, and I realized that they really needed time to explore hands-on with AB patterns before I could introduce the next one, and as well they were really needing to move and just I had them sitting on the carpet for too long. Lastly, I had small groups for the You Do section. I actually did this lesson for an observation with my supervisor, and so I had to go out and talk to my supervisor, and thankfully I had my CT and my CT's mom, who's a teacher, to lead my small groups, which were creating patterns with either pipe cleaners and beads or with Unifix cubes. I think that having these different small groups speaks to my in task standard number 2 because I met students with particular learning differences, when it comes to motor skills. Students who I noticed struggled more with fine motor skills, I put them in the Unifix cube group because I felt that stringing beads on pipe cleaners needed more fine-tuned movement. So there was one student who had a difficult time transitioning to small groups, and instead of causing harm by embarrassing her or punishing her like traditional discipline might call for, I used her behavior book that my CT and I created for her. I took her by the hand. Don't worry, I washed my hands after, COVID safe. But I took her by the hand and led her to the safe place, which is a place that we've designated for talking about emotions, for breathing, and then making a choice such as coloring or reading a book, and then being ready to come back to class. A culturally competent educator practices creating these environments that support learning in not only schools and classrooms, but also in the community. And I think this competency is reflected in the way I help my students get to her place by using both the behavior book and the safe place. The book we created talks about what it looks like to be a student in school, what she can do, and what she can do when it feels difficult to listen or participate, and then it ends with a picture of all of us seeing how proud we are of her as her teachers. We also shared this book at conferences, and we talk weekly about progress during phone calls with families, and we also sent a copy of this book home with our student. In our class, we also have a book of friends, which is we have several of these which have pictures of all of our students, and they like to look through these to create, you know, a sense of classroom community. We have books called Who Am I, which use the first letter of students' name. It says, my name starts with B, who am I? And then it'll be a picture of, you know, a kid whose name might be Bridget. and then we also have students' name tags. We have pictures of them and their family that we took at kindergarten orientation. We have copies of these too, so if kids are missing their family, they can go get one of their pictures and bring it with them around the classroom as they do the things that they need to do. And these are all ways that I'm learning how to create environments that support learning, that are safe, that are healthy, that are in the classroom and the school. And I think that having weekly phone calls with families and talking in conferences also stretches that out to the community. So I wasn't really able to assess my students on this lesson because I was talking with my supervisor during the small groups, but I was able to come back for a little bit and observe what they were doing. I noticed that about 2/3 of my students were creating AB patterns, and then about 1/3 of my students were sorting the cubes or beads by color. I'm not sure if they thought that sorting was making a pattern or if they were not yet developmentally ready for AB patterns and were more ready for sorting by color. But this is something that I will explore in the future. So throughout the rest of the week, students would point things out around the classroom or the school and tell me about the pattern they noticed. For example, walking down the hallway, there was a sort of border taped around where student work is shown, and it had colorful stripes on it, and one of my students pointed out and said, look, Miss Bridget, that's a pattern. Look, red, yellow, red, yellow. And I just lost my mind, so that was cool. And then in subsequent lessons, we were able to use the same language about patterns in our calendar and our weather observations in beginning letter sounds, as well as letter forms, such as these letters have curves and these letters have straights. So again, while my lesson didn't explicitly use a Common Core standard, I do believe that it is a foundational understanding to support both the Common Core and the NGSS. And that is my lesson rationale. Thank you for listening.